ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
What's on the board?
26. Okay. So we reading from Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 14th chapter, text 23 to 26. There's no purport for 23, 24 and 25. So we'll chant 26 together because it has the purport and it's on the board. This is text 23, translation. King Chitraketu said, O great Lord Angira, because of austerity, knowledge and transcendental samadhi, you are freed from all the reactions of sinful life. Therefore, as a perfect yogi, you can understand everything external and internal regarding embodied conditioned souls like us. Text 24, translation. O great soul, you are aware of everything, yet you're asking me why I am full of anxiety. Therefore, in response to your order, let me disclose the cause. Text 25. As a person aggrieved by hunger and thirst is not pleased by the external gratification of flower garlands or sandalwood pulp, I'm not pleased with my empire, opulence or possessions, which are desirable even for great demigods because I have no son. This is text 26. We'll chant this together and then we'll read translation. Tathapahi Mahabhaga Purvai Sahagatam Tama Yata Tarema Dusparam Prajayatad Videhina Tatapahi Mahabhaga Purvai Sahagatam Tama Yata Tarema Dusparam Prajayatad Videhina. Atajis, please.
Thank you.
दुष्पारम् Tata, therefore, because of this, Pahi, kindly save, Mahabhaga, O great sage, Purvai Saha, along with my forefathers, Gatam, gone, Tama, to darkness, Yatha, so that, Tarema, we can cross. Dusparam, very difficult to cross. Prajaya, by getting a son. Tat, that, Videhi, kindly do, Na, for us. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Therefore, O great sage, please save me and my forefathers who are descending to the darkness of hell because I have no progeny. Kindly do something so that I may have a son to deliver us from hellish conditions. Purport. According to Vedic civilization, one gets married simply to have a son, who is needed to offer oblations to his forefathers. King Chitraketu responsibly desired to beget a child so that he and his forefathers might be delivered from the darkest regions. He was concerned with how to get pinda, oblations, in the next life, not only for himself, but also for his forefathers. Therefore, he requested Angira Rishi to favor him by doing something that he could help him get a son. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirviseshu Nivadi Pachyatya Desitarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare So Chitraketu, his face is dried up and is looking like lifeless. So Angira Rishi is wondering like what's going on. But Chitraketu, being so cultured and so expert, is speaking to Angira Rishi saying, you know, you're asking me, but you know everything. And then Chitraketu explains to him that, you know, I have no putra, I have no son. It reminds me of this instance when one of my god brothers was serving my guru, and in the middle of serving lunch, he just like, you know, started like crying. And then Maharaj asked him like, what's going on? And this devotee said, oh, I wish I don't have to say it. I wish you will know it. And then Maharaj said, I know what's going on, but you should say it for your own purification. In other words, even though the saintly people know what's going on, when we inquire, we have to have a certain mood. Otherwise, even if they give us some instructions, we're not going to follow. We may take it cheaply. And the instructions, when they're disobeyed, they become aparad. So here, Angira Rishi knows everything, but he's waiting for Chitraketu to open up and speak his mind. And it's explained by the acharyas that the idea of this pastime is that we become, hopefully, if we listen attentively, if we absorb these pastimes, that we become free from conditioned life. That is the goal of this pastime. Krishna puts such great souls as Chitraketu in this kind of situations to teach us. And unless we understand the message of these cantos, all the way till the 9th canto, it's no way we can understand the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which discusses the, confidential pastimes of Krishna, such as Rasa Leela. So Krishna staged this pastime to show how to transcend piety and become a surrendered soul. Because Maharaj Chitraketu wanted to be a pious person. But Krishna had, other plan. Like they say, if you want to make Krishna laugh, tell him your plans. So Chitraketu had something in mind, Krishna had something else. So he wanted him to transcend and go beyond this piety and sinful reactions and become a surrendered soul. It's like this one devotee was taking a group of devotees for a yatra to bathe in Ganges, to bathe in Yamuna, like this. So one congregation member asked the devotee who was giving the tour, what's the difference between bathing in Ganges and bathing in Yamuna? And the devotee, the guide, the senior devotee explained that by bathing in Ganges you become pious, but by bathing in Yamuna it takes away all your piety and impiety. Immediately everybody came out of the waters because they were not so surrendered. In other words, makes you transcendental. So Angira Rishi saw that Chitraketu had no life in his eyes. And it is the nature of this world, is that you may have everything, we may have everything, but if one thing goes wrong in our lives, then the life becomes miserable. And there's millions of things that can go wrong. That's how it's designed. It's like in the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is telling Brahma, the purpose of the creation is actually to frustrate the living entity's attempts to become the enjoyer. And he mentioned to Brahma that make sure you're very thorough in your work. Don't leave any room, whether it's like talking about the gross body or the subtle body or the gross world. Confirmed. Whatever it is, Krishna instructed Brahma, don't leave any room where the conditioned souls can feel like this is their home. So this is how it's designed. And Angira Rishi knows this very well, but Chitraketu was desperate. And he was actually not willing to hear anything else. He just wanted a son. And Angira Rishi wanted to tell him something higher, remind him something higher, but being an expert preacher, Kala Desha Patra, it's explained even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was preaching in Bengal, these people were actually committing offenses. So Prabhupada writes, he actually went to South India where things were more favorable to distribute Krishna consciousness. So similarly, Angira Rishi, being so expert, he didn't see that Chitraketu was ready to hear any higher instructions. He was just stuck with this one desperate desire that I want to have a son. So Angira Rishi gave him a hint. He said, you will have a son, but do me a favor and name him Harshasoka. Harshasoka means happiness and distress. So in other words, Angira Rishi told him, you will have a son, but you will be happy like anything. Can you imagine having millions of wives and being the king of the planet and everybody worships you and then you don't have a son and then you have a son? So Angira Rishi told him, the son will be the cause of your most happiness. And also, Soka, he will become the cause of your, you know, distress. But Chitraketu didn't care. Just like Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Ram, when he was told, actually, you will actually die, you will leave your body from so much separation from your son. And Dasarath didn't have any sons, same position as Chitraketu. So Dasarath is thinking, forget it, let me, you know, die, but at least the good news is, according to this prediction, I will have a son. If I'm going to die in separation from my son, that means it's indicating I will have a son. So, who cares? All I want is a son. So, Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughan, they were born. Same way, Chitraketu, when he was told that, you know, the son will be the cause of happiness and distress, who cares? Every son is a cause of happiness and distress. So he didn't think that far. He said, as long as I have a son, then I'll be happy. I will be able to impress others. Because he was a Kshatriya. The Kshatriyas, they have this bhav, they have this ego. They want to impress others by their activities. But the Maya is, the more that we want to impress others, the more we possess, unfortunately, the more people become envious, whether it's family or friends or neighbors or whatever. As soon as we have something, we may think it's so special for us, but for them, there's just more reason for them to become envious. They can't stand it that we have it. They think subtly that it should be theirs, not ours. It's like on book distribution, if you stop like, you know, two or three girls like Mataji's and you compliment one of them, and then you look at the other people's faces, it's just like, you know, they're ready to like drag her away. Don't buy the book because he didn't compliment me, you know, he complimented you. It's like the envy. So this queen who happened to have a child, she was so happy and she became very dear to Chitraketu. But, you know, everybody else, all the other million queens become envious of her. And they poison the child and they kill the child. And they were expertly crying along with the queen that lost her son. This is the position. And Srila Prabhupada explains in this connection that if we insist on something, Krishna will give it to us. But if it's material, if our desires and prayers are material, then it's like we create our own monster. We create our own suffering. And Prabhupada explains, just like in this pastime, Chitraketu is insisting that he wants to have a son. He's like really desperate. He's begging the saintly people who can actually give him love for God. But he only wants a son. Similarly, Prabhupada explains about this pastime of Damodar. This is a very, very special month. Special month for the Vaishnavas. We're waiting for this month all year long. Kartik Vrata. Prabhupada explains how Mother Yashoda was determined to tie the rope around Krishna's waist, and after like so much perspiration and hard endeavor, Krishna allowed her. Okay, now you can tie me. In the pastime of Damodar, it's explained that Mother Yashoda was actually churning butter. She had like many millions of cows. Out of them, she had nine special cows called the Padma Gandha cows. And they ate only a special kind of grass. They called Padma Gandha grass. Padma Gandha literally means that which smells like lotus flowers. So the grass smelled like lotus flowers. And the milk that was given was very fragrant. So 9 cows she had, very special cows. And she didn't even let any of the servant maids milk the cows. She did it herself, and she was churning them into butter. And Krishna was in the next room sleeping. And Mother Yashoda, it's explained, she was actually crying in separation from Krishna, and she was singing songs and glorification of Krishna, who is just sleeping next room. And Krishna woke up and he came to Mother Yashoda, wanted to drink some milk. So Mother Yashoda was so pleased, so she put him on her lap, and she was breastfeeding him, and she was so happy to see his baby teeth coming out, and she was in ecstasy. And she heard the milk was actually boiling in the kitchen stove. So she put Krishna down so she can do more service by protecting the milk. That's actually Krishna's favorite. So she went in the kitchen, and the acharyas actually explain the milk also is conscious in the spiritual world, and the milk is thinking, what's the use of us? Mother Yashoda is actually feeding him breast milk, so who's going to drink us? So they started to jump into fire. They wanted to commit suicide. So Mother Yashoda put him down, and she went to save the milk. And Krishna got so angry. Krishna said, what's she doing? She is giving preference to the milk and put me down halfway. So picked up a rock and broke the butter pot that she was churning. And he ate some of the butter, and he was like, he knew what's coming up. He made a mess, so he was running into a room. And his beautiful lotus feet, they were actually smeared with the butter, and the footprints were actually on the floor leading into the room where he was hiding. And Mother Yashoda saw this. She came back after turning off the, saving the milk, and she saw the footprints. It was like the first detective, She saw the footprints, and she went to the room, and she saw Krishna, to her surprise. He was standing on the grinding mortar and taking more butter from the rafters and feeding the monkeys. It's explained in the pastimes of Ramchandra, Krishna was not able to feed the monkeys. They were helping him so much. So in Krishna Leela, he was feeding them to their full satisfaction. And monkeys saw that Mother Yashoda was coming from behind, so they ran away, and Krishna was shocked to see Mother Yashoda coming with a stick chasing after him. So he jumped down from the mortar and started running. And Mother Yashoda is actually chasing Krishna with a stick. Such an amazing pastime. Unfortunately, none of the other religions have any understanding of God. Even in Hinduism, the Mayavadis or other, Jains and Sikhs, there's so many. They have no access to such intimate pastimes of the Lord. But here she is, a Mataji mother was running, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even the yogis, after many, many, many years of meditation and hard labor, cannot understand Krishna, or to speak of capturing him. And Krishna was running in the household of Mother Yashoda. And Yashoda captured him finally. And it's explained, the flowers in her head, the hairs of Mother Yashoda, were thinking, we don't want to be part of this conspiracy. She's about to punish Krishna. So they're jumping away from her. Said, we don't want anything to do with this. So she captured him. And she said, naughty Krishna, you become just like a monkey associating with the monkeys. I'm going to teach you a lesson. So she was throwing the stick to punish him. Krishna was with the false tears and mascara flowing from his cheeks and was crying. And Mother Yashoda went to get rope from her household. And when she tried to tie Krishna, how can you tie the source of everything who has no beginning or end, but the love of his pure devotee, she was able to tie him, at least try. And he was mystically 2 fingers too short. I mean, Mother Yashoda put on ankle bells and, you know, beautiful ornaments around Krishna's waist before. It's not like new. And when she tried to tie him now, it was 2 fingers short. So she got more ropes and tied them together and still was 2 fingers too short. She got all the ropes from the household, all the ropes from the neighboring household. It was mystically 2 fingers too short. And she was like perspiring and she was like breathing very heavily and she was working really hard. And Krishna was smiling and said, okay, I let you do this mission impossible. So Krishna allowed her to tie him around the waist. And she tied Krishna to the grinding mortar. And then, even though Krishna is tied, Krishna is still liberating. Krishna saw the 2 trees, Nalakuvara and Manigreva, they were turned into these twin Yamala Arjuna trees. And they were so powerful trees. Dinabandhu Prabhu actually explained one time, in Vrindavan one time they had this heavy, heavy storm. And everything was knocked down except these Arjuna trees. They were just standing straight, no problems. They were like so deeply rooted. And Krishna saw how these Nalakuvara and Manigreva, they were like sporting naked in the garden of Lord Shiva. And Narada Muni cursed them to become trees. But even the curse of a devotee is a blessing. So Narada Muni cursed them to become the trees in the backyard of Krishna. So Krishna wanted to fulfill the desire and the blessing of Narada Muni. So he crawled in between these Yamala Arjuna trees with his grinding mortars and gently yanked them. And these trees came down crashing. And 2 effulgent beings came out and they were offering beautiful prayers and circumambulating Krishna. And Mother Yashoda couldn't believe. See, Harsha Soka, even in the spiritual world, your son is a source of happiness and anxiety. So Mother Yashoda couldn't believe. I thought it was bad enough that he was breaking the butter pot. Now these huge trees could have crushed him. And the little kids that saw what happened, they were telling the gopas and the senior gopis and Mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj saying, we saw what happened. This Krishna pulled these trees down. And they're like, yeah, right. So they took Krishna and they smeared him with like the hoof dust of the cows and smeared him with like, you know, panchagavya, the cow dung and the cow urine and chanted mantras to Vishnu for his protection like this. So Prabhupada explains that whatever strong desire we have, Krishna is going to fulfill. But the point is whether we have a strong material desire, which will be taken away, maybe even while we're living or at the time of death for sure. And life is super short in Kali Yuga. It's explained when the Kali progresses, a 30-year-old person will be considered like an old man. And people will start having children when they're like 11, 12, 9. It's already happening. So this is the nature of the world we're living in. It's designed to frustrate us. So the more we have attachments, like Chitraketu, Nashochati, Nakangshati, Krishna says, this is the symptom of a liberated person. A conditioned soul is always the intelligence, the contaminated intelligence is always hankering something. And as soon as you get it, You're already unhappy because you know in the back of your mind it's just a matter of time you lose it. And you become more miserable when you actually lose it. So Krishna wants to show us through these pastimes how it's not worth it. And this is the actual first-class intelligence to learn from the scriptures, from somebody else's hard-earned experience. We don't have to go through all this and take another birth attached to something material. We can just learn from these pastimes and learn what's the actual prayer. Nectar of Devotion says the best way to offer prayers, the most pleasing prayers are those who are offered by predecessor acharyas. We just have to repeat them. And this way we can learn such valuable lessons and become free from this conditioned life of birth and death and become a pure lover of Krishna. It's like Satyavrata Muni we sing every morning. Varam deva moksham na moksha vadimva na chanyam vrineham vareshad apiha. Idam teva apurnata gopala balam. Sadame manasya virashtam kimmane. He's saying, I don't want anything. I don't want even know your feature as Paramatma. I don't want liberation. I just want to remember your form as Bala Gopal. Same thing Kolavecha Sridhar prayed when he was offered any benediction he wanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kolavecha Sridhar said, just come and steal these bananas from me birth after birth. That's all I desire. Is there any comments or questions? Can you give the microphone to Loka Prabhu, please? Yeah, I guess I can repeat. Omkar is not feeling energetic. Go for it. Turn it on.
Hari Bol. So the question is, what means the two fingers? Because you say Madre Yasoda always went to tie Krishna, and always like a mystical way. Mystical ways missing two fingers. What means that two fingers?
He's asking, what did the two fingers represent when Mother Yasoda was trying to tie Krishna? There were two fingers too short. And yeah, that's a good question. The acharyas actually explained that one finger represents determination and the mercy of Krishna. So these are the... Thank you for the nice question. And thank you, Vijay Prabhu. Sachitanoi.
In the verse, it is explained that King Chitraketu is lamenting and he's worried because he's not going to have oblations properly done. So he's requesting for a son. And it appears that it has never been mentioned in the scriptures that, you know, like, what about a daughter? Sometimes we've seen that many practitioners of Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness, they have daughters, 1, 2, 3. And sometimes we even see that some of them have many sons, and unfortunately they don't even become devotees, they even become atheists, so they just go away, not interested in Krishna consciousness. So maybe you can expand in this, and isn't it better just to don't depend on anyone and just fly your own airplane? Like, don't depend on anyone and just fly your own airplane.
Yeah, that's a nice question. Well, we are discussing like a Vedic civilization, an ideal culture and tradition where when you have a daughter and when you offer in charity, when she gets married, she's no longer your daughter, you give it away, give her away. But the son is actually, you know, considered like yours. But in Kali Yuga, you know, none of these processes are possible. So Prabhupada has given us this Daivi Varnashram, how to transcend beyond all this. So a devotee daughter can take you back to Godhead. If you are devotee yourself and you have accepted a spiritual master and you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're going back to Godhead. And if it's your son who's a devotee, he can take you back to Godhead. So Prabhupada's mercy that, you know, he's given us the process through which, you know, we can transcend this, you know, even though we're in Kali Yuga, everything is lost. Like Prabhupada actually explains, everything is planned in Vedic culture. All the way from, like, you know, begetting progeny, how to live in this world, how to die, what you do after you die, what you do before you're born. Everything is planned. But Prabhupada explained, nowadays in Kali Yuga, and there's no planning, the children are born like some accidental sexual affairs. And if they're lucky, if they survive in the womb of their mother, because usually they're killed. If they come out, that means they're like lucky. So this is the situation we're in. So we cannot understand like what these personalities we're talking about and what they're going through. So for us, Prabhupada is given as the sublime process, whether you're man or woman, or even Prabhupada said a dog can take part in chanting. So we just chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. Does that make sense? Amal Bhakta Prabhu, did you want to say something?
Thank you. Thank you for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a further comment on this conversation going on. It's not good while I'm trying to give an explanation to Loka's question. Okay. So the point that is made there, you said, what is the significance of that? It's beyond what was just mentioned. The significance of the two fingers, or as Prabhupada translates, it's 2 inches too short. The point was being made is that if you try to bind the Supreme Lord, it's impossible. You can't bind him. She tried with a 5-foot rope. That would not work. Then a 15-foot rope, that didn't work. And so he had a little waist, but what happened was that the rope kept it shrunk so that it could never get around his waist, because you cannot bind the Supreme Lord except with pure love. And as she continued to try to bind him, the sweat was coming down from her forehead, and she was and her friends were looking and kind of laughing because she kept trying and trying and failing and failing. But the point that's being made is that she wouldn't stop. This was her devotion. What is the devotional point there? The devotional point is that she was trying to punish her child and make him into a good boy so that he doesn't grow up to be a mischief maker, because he had just committed some mischief there with the breaking of the pots and so forth. So now she had to give him some punishment, and she wanted to make him into a good boy, which is a little ironic, because here he is. He is the symbol, he is the essence of all goodness, and she's trying to make the essence of all goodness into a good boy. So what finally happens is that as a result of her austerity, she's trying and trying and trying with love in her heart and not succeeding. Then Krishna sees, well, this devotee is really trying to, really offering her love to me in a manner which certainly deserves to be fulfilled in the form of success. So at that point, he then allows the rope to be not 2 inches or 2 fingers too short, but long enough to be able to bind him. The point being that you can bind Krishna only with your pure love for him.
Jai. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.